welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Hallelujah. Well, I've given you some messages, haven't I? Don't come to this church. Hallelujah. Some of you have been taking that very seriously. I've told you to do nothing. Some of you have been taking that really seriously. I told you that I offer you nothing, and you're still here. But, well, this morning I'm going to preach on don't be like Jesus was. Now, there's a controversial title, just to excite you and get you listening and see if I can turn it around and make it good. Wait till that one's listed on the website. I'll have emergency phone calls. Don't be like Jesus was. There's a very big clue coming up. If you've got your Bible, you can turn to it. It's in 1 John 4:17, where we're going to go with this one. It says this quite simply. Depends on your translation, but it'll say something very similar. As he is, so are we in the world. Okay? As he is, so are we in the world. Not as he was. I'm going to see why this is significant. All right? You're giving me a good smile over there, Chris. Thank you. It says, smile by grace, that one. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, Billy said, and the righteous run into it and they are safe. Amen. This is a word that the Lord gave us at the foundation of the church. It's interesting. I look back at November church news last year, which was the very first time we did the video news. And the verse that was in it was, the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it and they are safe. And the Lord has constantly given it to us. If we've got that castle in Scarborough on the hill, a constant reminder that we as a church are called to be the strong tower. Why? Because we are here in the name of the Lord. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It doesn't actually say anything else. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Although, as you know from other scriptures, the Lord is our stronghold. And we are here in the name of the Lord to be a strong tower, to be a beacon, to be a lighthouse, to be a safe haven, to be a place of rescue. Okay? So that's what we are. That's the call upon this church. It's a call to be the mighty tower of God that people can run to and be safe. It's the place where you can be accepted no matter what you've been through, what you've done, what your name is, what colour your hair is, or whether you've got purple spots on the end of your nose. No, nobody. It's a place for being accepted in the strong tower. Amen? Okay. But the problem is, or is it a problem? The problem is, it says, and the righteous run to it and they are safe. And I don't know about you, but there's an awful lot of unrighteousness. So does that mean we're all excluded? Because there's no one righteous but God alone. So it's not much of a verse, really, is it? All the righteous can run and we're all sinners. But you see, that's why we're not, this is where we're coming across why we're not as Jesus was. Okay, he wasn't a sinner, I'm not saying that, but he was the suffering servant who was heading towards the cross. Okay, that's what he was. But he didn't stay there on the cross. The Jesus that is the Jesus not on a cross, but the Jesus that's resurrected. The Jesus that is ascended and glorified and sitting on the right hand of the Father. Already Jesus is in the safe place. He is high and lifted up. That's literally what the Hebrew word there means where it says safe. It means high and put in a high place. But then doesn't the Bible say that we are seated in heavenly places? This is what it means. It means we've been rescued and placed in a safe place with Jesus. We're in a high place. He is our holiness. He is our righteousness. He is our, he's our everything. Yeah, that'll do. Thank you, Eileen. Ephesians 4. Verse 13 says, I'm giving you references and everything this morning. This is like real church, isn't it? It was, yeah. The Holy Spirit has been given to you. If you read that word, the background of that verse, it's talking about the Holy Spirit being given. But the end of that verse, it just says, to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And remember, this scripture that we've got, we're not as he was, we're as he is. As he is, so are we in the world. So everything that Christ is, we are. Not we will be, not we might be, but as he is, so are we. And not just so are we so we can have a lovely time on Sunday morning. It actually says, so are we in the world. In other words, we are the fullness of Christ to the world. Amen. If ever there was hope, if ever there was optimism, if ever we realised it's absolutely nothing to do with who we are, but who he is, it's this, that we are not as we are, but we're as he is in the world. And he is seated in heavenly places, in all victory, in all glory, in all triumph, in all power, in all majesty. You know, if you read Revelation, you'll get mighty visions of John where he sees the Lord glowing. He's got legs and feet like bronze. He can't describe him. So glorious, so powerful, so majestic is what he sees. He tries to use picture language to convey how glorious it is. And yet, this verse says that as he is, so are we in the world. We take the majesty, the glory, the power. These are days of favor. What does that mean? God releasing revival on his church. I don't want to settle for anything less than the fullness of Christ. And in my book, the fullness of Christ is seeing the power and the glory of God manifest in the lives of people, and lives being turned around and lives being changed. Amen. Why settle for anything less? If we see less, we just say, well, we're going forward, because we're not happy with where we are now. We're happy in the sense that God has rescued us, obviously, but we're not happy to stay where we are. There's something much more glorious. Are you with me on this today? So God is putting us in a safe place, okay, where we are saved. Anybody saved here this morning? Amen. Who's saved here this morning? Who's thankful that they're saved here this morning? Oh, half of the people that put their hands up kept their hands up. That's good. Sorry, I'm catching you out now. It's not fair, is it? Yes, it's a safe place where we're at peace with God. If you jump into the Greek, where we use the word saved instead of this Hebrew word that's been translated safe, you know what is the word? What's the word for saved? You do know. Sozo. It means completely healed, completely delivered, completely set free. Completely free in the Lord, in other words. Right, let's jump. If you've got a Bible and you want to open it, you can jump to Psalm 18. This is a fantastic psalm. Okay. I'm just looking in Job 18, so I will turn over a couple of pages. Might have ended up with a very different message there. Hallelujah. I love you, O Lord, my strength. It's the beginning of everything. It's the beginning of taking... What we're going home with today is the knowledge that we have the fullness of Christ. God wants to give you a greater revelation of that truth this morning. All right, because when we've got that truth, we do become world changers. You can't be anything else, because Christ himself... Imagine Christ appearing in ascendant glory in the little area outside Woolworths. It would be quite something. I think it would be noticed. And yet, as Jesus is, so are we in the world. I think the time is coming when we're standing outside Woolworths and it gets noticed simply because the glory of the Lord is shining from your face. It's like the film The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, you know? And he got that sort of slowly, his hair went whiter and whiter and sort of more upright. You're all going to have white up. No. The glory of God's going to shine from your faces. It's already shining from most of them. Anyway, all of us, it's grace. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. All right? The Lord, my God, is my rock in whom I take refuge. This is the stronghold, a place to hide out. You can't be caught out by the enemy when you're in the stronghold. And the great thing is where we can go anywhere and we're still in the stronghold. The problem with Scarborough Castle is when the king was in there, he was in his stronghold, but he had to go out sometimes. And then he was at great risk. But you can stay within your stronghold. You're always in the stronghold. You're always protected from the enemy. Okay? He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of my praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Amen. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I'm saved from my enemies. But who are your enemies? Who are your enemies? I'm not talking about Mrs. Bloggs next door, okay? Who are your enemies? Your enemies are everything that is opposed to this gospel. Yeah? And you are saved from your enemies. So you are saved from depression. That's the truth. You know, if you struggle with depression, you are saved from it. The price has been paid. You are saved from ill health. You know, is there anybody sick in the body? I expect there are some here this morning that are not well, but that is not what God has saved you for. Okay, and we're taking hold, we're learning to take hold of everything that we already have. It's been sitting on the shelf for years, and sometimes it's a bit dusty, but we're just cleaning it all up and saying, actually, this belongs to me. Amen. You have been saved. Saved from your enemies. It actually says here, the cords of death entangled me. All right, it's sometimes when you're sick, sometimes when you're ill, sometimes when you're in debt, you feel like you're being dragged down. Sometimes when you're in drug addiction or alcohol addiction or you keep gambling money away, it feels like it's ensnared around you and it's dragging and it's pulling you down. But in Jesus, it goes, boom, it's cut off and you're placed up in a high place and you're safe forevermore. Those cords cannot get up there and tangle you and pull you back down again. You're in the stronghold.
Yes.
Amen? And if you stay in the stronghold, you're not going to have a problem. That's the glory of God. The torrents of destruction overwhelm me. That's what the world, ways of the world do to you. You can feel totally overwhelmed. But I'll tell you something else. The Lord has totally overcome the world.
Amen.
So whatever comes against you, instead of pushing you down and squashing you, it just pushes you up and it goes under your feet.
Yes.
If you choose to do that. The cords of the grave coiled around me. See, the Bible is realistic about what life can be like. Life can be a bag of bones. Life can be horrible. Life can be horrendous. It can feel like you're being sucked into the grave. But here the Lord is saying, I am saved from my enemies. Those cords are cut off. Cancer can feel like somebody is dragging you into the grave before your time. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, you are saved from that cancer. Because you are saved from all sickness. You are saved from all ill health. Amen. Let's have some louder amens in the place, because this is good news this morning. All right? Here's some more realism. In my distress, I called to the Lord. Anybody ever got a bit upset, a bit worried, a bit scared, or a bit fed up, or a lot worse? You bunch of liars. Except for the one saying yes. I love you, Wolf. Sorry, that's very unfair. If you've ever been in that experience, raise a hand or two. Okay? Well, here's what the Bible says. In my distress, I meet Christians who are sort of got in a bit of a state because things have gone wrong, and they're embarrassed to call out to the Lord. They sort of say, oh, I should be right. You don't have to take the shower first. God cleans you up. You can't get yourself clean before you go before God, or you're saying, I'm better than God, I'll get myself sorted out, then I'll go before God. There's nothing you can do. If it's all gone wrong, if it's all messed up, if you're feeling desperate, cry out to the Lord. And don't wait for the holy prayer, you know, oh Lord, my holy God, I calleth unto you this morning. Would thou hearest, thou servant, and answer the call of my heart, Lord. And God says, oh, shut up and speak English. Yeah. He wants to hear the cry of your heart. Yeah. Oh, God, I've messed up. Help, God. Yeah. Sort it out, please.
Yeah.
That's prayer.
Yeah.
So often prayer gets dressed up in holy, holy, holy language. And not just the these and the lows. We get into practice of, oh, Lord, I just ask you to bless me. Lord, I just ask you to come and just be good and just do this. And just hang on a minute. You know, we get into a pattern, and actually we prayer is talking to God. Prayer is the cry of our heart. Prayer is what you actually feel like, because God knows what you actually feel like. So if you actually feel like having a go at him, have a go at him, because it's all in there, so you might as well. Okay, he's quite big. He won't get offended. Okay, he's not going to never speak to you again. He just wants you to be real with him. Because you've been saved from your enemies. Amen? As Jesus is, so are we in the world. He didn't have a problem with all this great list. I've got a list here. Saved from a life without God. That's what you've been saved from. In other words, you've been saved from a life that has no destiny, no purpose, no meaning, and no effectiveness. There's a lot of people who will be very upset that I've said that, but actually that's the bottom line. Because the purpose, the destiny, the effectiveness, a life that counts ultimately comes from the Lord.
Yes.
And actually, you can fulfill some of what God, I suppose, has for you, even if you don't know him, because he's an amazing God and he'll use you anyway. But if you want the fullness of what God has, you have to know the Lord. There's no other option, is there? So you've been saved from a life without God. You've been saved from a life without destiny, a life without purpose. You've been saved from destruction. It might be people in this room. There's certainly people out there where God has saved you from suicide. That is a destructive enemy. These are the enemies we're saved from. Sometimes you get a picture of enemies and you're immediately thinking, demons. Yeah? Let's put some names on where it's coming from. You're saved from abuse. You're saved from torment. You're saved from sickness. You're saved from ill health. You're saved from a destructive lifestyle. You're saved from the broken family and the effect that had on you. You're saved from getting overcome with greed and avarice. You're saved from gambling and debts. You're saved from alcohol addiction. You're saved from drug addiction. You're saved from sexual sin. And you're saved from even yourself. All these things. I mean, Christians, we should be the most excited people on the planet. I don't know, I did that. That's hallelujah. You know, there's so much within us. No wonder we're going to make an impact outside Woolworths, because we've got it all.
Amen.
Christians are the most selfish people in the world when they don't share the good news. You know, sometimes the world says, you know, we don't want to know what you've got. Why do you have to put up alpha notices, the posters that say, who cares? Can't you leave us alone? No, we can't leave you alone, because what we've got is going to save your life.
Yes.
And we want in every single way possible to share that with you. You've still got the option to reject, but we want you to know.
Yes.
Amen? The option not to tell anybody is not a real option. It's so good what we have. If we found this morning that this bottle of anointing oil, well, actually, that's funny because it is, but anyway, that this bottle of anointing oil was the miraculous cure for cancer, just by having a touch of this, you were healed, we would be so mean to keep, oh, let's keep this in Scarborough. No, better, let's keep it amongst us, because there's not much. I mean, can you imagine how selfish that would be to have the cure and not share it? We have the cure. Actually, the healing for cancer is in that bottle of... not actually in the oil, but in what it represents, the healing oil of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Listen, when these enemies come against you, not only are you safe from these things, but as Jesus is, so are we here in the world. So you're not only safe from these things, you're safe to something. I've got another list. Do you want to know? I mean, these lists aren't exhaustive. There is some more, you know, but, you know, do you want a list of twos? Are you going to promise to sort of, you know, smile and be responsive?
Yeah.
And sort of think, wow, this is awesome. Maybe you've never thought, wow, this is awesome before. Maybe you say, oh, that's jolly good. But, you know, there's always a first. So you're saved to peace with God.
Yes.
That's a good one for the start of the list. Who wants to be an enemy of God? You must be mad. You're saved to peace with God. You're saved to life in all its fullness.
Amen.
Yeah, you're saved to a dynamic life of adventure that comes from following Jesus. Amen? That's this life in all its fullness. You're saved to a life of righteousness and holiness. Yeah, you're saved to a life of health and energy. Feeling tired? Plug your fingers in the socket upwards. A life of joy and love. You're saved to know God intimately. You're saved to be in His glory. You're saved to be in His presence. You're saved to live in His triumph. You're saved to be in His victory. And you're saved to live a life of holiness.
Yeah.
This is a great list.
Yeah?
You're a good bunch. I'm loving all the support you're giving here this morning. But it's more than that. As you speak back to me, it's like collectively the anointing builds and we receive from God. I'm more blessed than you lot, because when you preach, you have to have prepared it, you have to have prayed it, then you preach it, you're speaking it out, so you get far more blessing than you lot. Tough, that's my job. But you can listen and speak some of it back, amen, so that you get some of the blessing. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Saved to a life of righteousness and holiness, as Jesus is. Is Jesus righteous?
Yes.
Is Jesus holy?
Yes.
So you are righteous. You are holy.
Yes.
So it's okay then when it says the righteous run into it and they are safe. Because it's the Lord that puts us in that position. Anybody who turns to the Lord can run to the strong tower, because as Jesus is, so are we in the world.
Yes.
Immediately they're righteous.
Yes.
Immediately they can get into the strong tower and they're saved from that long list that I'm not going through again.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Is this good?
Yes.
Listen, when sickness comes against you, whatever it is, from a headache to Parkinson's disease, okay, this is how the Lord feels about those enemies coming against you. All right, I love this. All right, we've got to, I cried to my God for help. This is what then happens. From his temple, He heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. One, he hears you. Okay? But he doesn't just hear you and sort of send you a divine pat on the back. There, never mind, you'll get through it with me. He does a little bit more than that. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. God gets angry when the enemy comes against you in whatever form. Because you're his. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Sounds like some kind of dragon. Consuming fire came from his mouth. You thought the dragon was just the devil. I tell you, the Lord is far more frightening when he's cross than the devil. Amen. He parted the heavens and came down. When you cry, the Lord just doesn't send a divine answer. The Lord comes down. This picture. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. You say you've got this smoky nostril, fire-breathing, dark-clouding, mounted on cherubim God coming down to sort out the enemy on your behalf because the enemy is dared to come against one of his kids. So when the enemy comes against you, it's okay to feel a little bit sorry for him because he's going to get it tough. And just have a little wicked, you know, Daniel did the whoa. You know, when the enemy comes against you, you can say, because he's going to get it tough. He's going to have his head kicked in. Is this a bit sort of base and vulgar language? Well, it's that's what's saying here. It says he made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. This is one of the great mysteries of God. God is all light, and yet here he's hidden in darkness. God, you'll never get your head around all the Bible, ever. God's beyond the word that's here. This is God revealed, but we can't understand everything. You know, he's the God that hates divorce, yet in Jeremiah 3:8 you'll find that God says, I'm divorced. Read it up. I am divorced from Israel, he says. And that's encouragement to anybody that's ever been divorced and felt unacceptable. If God's divorced, he's still acceptable. He hates divorce. But it doesn't make you unacceptable. Anyway, that's a bit of a side. There's all kind of things like that in the Word, aren't there, where you hold these things in tension. Anyway, we're back to this. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced and hailstones and bolts of lightning. This is a fearsome cod coming down for you when you cry out to the Lord. Doesn't say the enemy doesn't ever come. It says cry out when it happens and I'm coming. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies, great bolts of lightning and routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. You can't get much more fearsome than that. You don't want to be one of God's enemies. And then the next bit goes tender. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. Wherever you are, whatever's wrong, whatever mess, whatever black swamp you end up in, or the people you meet up with are in, when they cry to the Lord, and it doesn't necessarily mean saying, oh God, I want to be a Christian, receive me. This is a real cry. You know? This is when you really get saved, because you're crying to the Lord, saying, God help me. I got it wrong. I don't know where I'm going. Come and save me. He comes down. Bang! And his hand comes down, his powerful hand, and draws you out of the deep waters. It says, he rescued me from my powerful enemy and my foes who were too strong for me. That's good to know that the enemy is too strong for us. It's good to know because it's an encouragement when we feel like we're losing. We're supposed to lose unless Lord comes and sorts it. All right, sometimes we laugh and joke, and there's a sense in which it's true that Satan is a diddly little squat thing and we can put him under our feet. We come against Satan as us, and we'll find he is a fallen archangel and he is very powerful. Before God, before Jesus, and as Jesus is, so are we in the world. So we can do this. But don't get it wrong. It's not us. It's who we're in. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the truth of who we are in Christ. Amen. Are you enjoying just a little bit of in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. I tried to come from a slightly different angle this morning, but this is the truth that revolutionizes the world. This is the truth that replaces 45 years of counseling to be freed from the problem in the past. It is. Because when you realize that you are saved, you don't have to worry about the past. Amen? Hallelujah. Where are we up to? Oh, thank you. No, I'm going to go. I didn't do 18 either. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. Verse 19, this is the one. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me. Why did he rescue you? Because he delighted in me. If you believe that line, you will never, ever struggle with acceptance again. When you know that this fire-breathing dragon of a God delights in you and is willing to get off his throne and come through the clouds riding on cherubim to sort out those that would dare to come against one of his kids. You never, ever, ever need to worry again. Doesn't matter who else rejects you. Who cares what everybody else says? He accepts me. Yes. Hallelujah. And he knows more about you than anybody else. He knows the dirt. And still he delights in you. Hallelujah. Don't be like Jesus was. Jesus came walking towards the cross. He was the suffering servant. Okay? We now live as Jesus is, the victorious champion.
Yes. Amen.
Amen? We don't have life. Our life is not on the cross. Having a good time out there. Our life is not on the cross, but because of the cross. That's why most of us will have a blank cross. There's nothing wrong with having a crucifix as long as you remember Jesus is no longer there. We don't look to that suffering Savior to save us. The suffering Savior saved us. He's gone beyond the suffering and he's in a place of victory. Amen. We have nothing without the cross. I'm not undermining it. The shed blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, wiped out the power and the presence of sin in our lives on that cross. Amen. But if you try and live always before the cross, always thinking I'm a worm, I'm not worthy, I'm a sinner, just saved by grace, you will never live as Jesus is. You are now more than a sinner saved by grace. The only problem with that song, Majesty, and once I wouldn't let the kids sing it, is that it focuses a little bit on the wormness of you. Okay? The good thing is it worships the Lord. You are not a worm. Yeah, I mean, it's true, you are nothing apart from the Lord, but you're not apart from the Lord. Therefore, you're not nothing. It's about time we believe the fact that we are worth what was paid for us. Yeah? Think what has been paid for you, and that is how much you're worth. As Jesus is, that is what we're worth. Infinitely precious, which is why every single human life has value, because Jesus died so that all men who believe in him might be saved. And that's what gives life its dignity and its value. And the world is slowly losing hold of that marvelous truth as they let go of the Christian beliefs. They don't even know where it comes from sometimes, this treasuring. Before Christianity, there was nothing that valued human life, all human life, no matter where it was, as precious. It's a Christian value. That's where it comes from. It comes from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. There's nothing else. That's why you'll find it's mostly Christians, but not solely, who will stand against abortion on demand. It's destroying a life. It's a life that Jesus died for. It may only be beginning, but it's a life. He also died for the woman that's carrying the baby, and whatever mess her life is perhaps in, he wants to redeem that as well. I'm not criticizing anybody here or coming against anybody. Our God is a God of life and compassion. Why are Christians standing against euthanasia? Because nobody should feel it's the right time to snuff out a life. The horrible story that's been in the papers, hasn't there, of the woman that, of the parents that took the poor boy that had been in the rugby accident and was paralyzed from the waist up. Why? No, from the neck up, I think it was. I mean, it was a horrendous situation. He wanted to end his life and he went and they gave him assisted suicide. How can we not have compassion and say that was the right thing? Because none of us have the right to just take life. Life is God-given and life is precious. Amen? And when you start to allow people to die who are in intense suffering, you begin to put pressure on those who need people to care for them. To say, well, you know, you cost too much now. You really ought to do the decent thing. That's where it goes. That's why we have to sometimes take the uncomfortable stand, because when new things come through, it's always in the worst. People that want the new thing present the worst cases. You know, where it's actually, you feel like a bigot for standing against it. It's the difficult ones. But the difficult ones are always the very small minority. People that talk against abortion, it's always the young girl who's been raped. But most abortions are done for convenience. Now there'll be ladies in this room, and maybe you've aborted your baby, but you are saved from your enemies. God has wiped that clean. Okay? It's not putting you under condemnation, but we want to save lives now.
Amen?
Amen? Hallelujah. Euthanasia, abortion, they're all coming against that preciousness of life. You're precious. But so is the person next to you. And the person next to them. And the person on the street outside, and the brass band, or whatever it was that was playing. Every single one of them, precious. But yet Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now this leads to a lot of thinking of self-denial. I mean, when you start to say the word, you begin to realize where you're beginning to go. It's not self-denial, but it is denying yourself. What's the difference? There is a difference. Let me see if I can explain it, and if I don't, you'll just have to forgive me. You're to deny the desires of yourself in order to follow Jesus. It's not a negative, I can't have that cake, I can't do that, I can't do that, I mustn't do that. It's not a denying in a set up a load of rules. That's religion. It's a positive denial in that you're choosing instead to follow Jesus. Isn't that what it says here? And take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself, don't go your way, follow Jesus. As he is, so are we in the world. It's the same thing. It's not talking about putting yourself in sackcloth and ashes. Because that's trying to account, that's trying to do penance, that's trying to pay a price yourself. You can't pay any price. As soon as you think you can do something to make yourself more acceptable, you're actually being very proud because you're saying Jesus isn't enough. I can help out here, God. If I just fast for 3 days, I will be a little bit more acceptable and you'll answer my prayers a bit more. That's such a waste of fasting. Fasting does not twist God's arm. We're already saved. We're already in glory. The only reason for fasting is it enables you more time to concentrate on the Lord. It gets your mind off food and allows the Spirit to come and work through you. But it doesn't twist God's arm. I've heard people sort of talk about it like that. I need to fast for this so that this will happen. You've got to be careful there. We fast to make ourselves available to the Lord, and he'll do what he wants to do. Now, breakthroughs often follow because you've made yourself available. So people put the two together, but they're not quite together in that sense. See, the inferior cross that's presented is a cross of introspection. Now, some of you guys in this room, I won't look anywhere, you know, you'll have gone under intense counseling where you're told to look at yourself. But that's not the cross. Because if you look at yourself, you get depressed. All right? Well, I do. What about you? If you look at yourself, you deserve to get depressed. And you get into reviewing the past. You get into self-induced suffering and denial. You get it. But Jesus didn't, you see, and all these things like this, all this kind of, Jesus didn't nail himself to the cross. This inferior cross, this looking at yourself, when you end up talking about your weaknesses. You end up talking about your lack of ability. You end up talking about your unworthiness. No, can't that sound holy? Oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy before the Lord. Yeah? When our oldest son, Tom, and I'll say this because he's not here. When our oldest son, Tom, was little, you'd go into a toy shop and say, Tom, you can have anything in this toy shop. How many would do that with your kids? Have any toy in this shop. Do you know what Tom would do? He'd look round the shop, and if he managed to choose something, he would come back with maybe a little play person. They'd have a pirate ship of play people over there, but Tom would be the one that came back with a little play person, because he felt he wasn't worthy or good enough. But we're like that with God sometimes. You know? God says, you can have it all. Oh, we're back to take that. You can have it all. So come on, get it. No. And we say, oh, thank you, God. I'll have a little bit of blessing and I'll have a little bit of healing from my cold, but I will suffer this other thing. And the Lord's saying, have the pirate ship. I can afford it. Now, of course, if Tom had been like Dan, he would have come out with 6 pirate ships. So you never, ever, ever, ever said to Dan, hey, choose whatever you like. But God is richer than we were.
Yes.
All right? You can have it all. Everything I have is yours, the father says to the son who's at home in the parable of the prodigal son. Everything I have is yours. Son, you've just never asked for it. Why have you given him a big pig and he's... whatever it was. A big fattened calf, I mean. Why have you given him a big fattened calf at a party? Well, son, everything I have is yours. You want a party? You just needed to ask. But all you did was work in the field. All you did was go out there and dig. You were trying to earn my love. The youngest son, he knew he'd blown it. He knew he'd missed it, but came back knowing that and just said, cried out to the Lord, and I reached down and pulled him out of the mire. But you think you can earn it by digging the fields. And you sort of think, oh, are you just digging the fields? That's not to say we don't dig the fields or we'll end up pretty mess, big mess. But we don't dig the fields to be accepted. We dig the fields because we are accepted.
Yes.
Yeah? We do the stuff because God loves us. We don't try and get God to love us by doing the stuff. Are you still with me on all this?
Yes.
Oh, wow, look at the time, sorry. Hallelujah. Right, I only told you about the inferior cross, haven't I? So I'll go through this. I need to finish, though, so I will. I'm still going to go through this. So, the inferior cross, it's all about being ever so broken to get revival. Well, I need to be broken. It's about confessing and reconfessing old sins. It's one of those prayer meetings where everybody's trying to think up something they've done wrong because it's like a confession party. Yeah? God's not impressed. You confess something that you've already confessed and God says, what? Because he doesn't remember the sin anymore. You did what? No. I didn't know about that one. It's a state where you seek after God, but you become preoccupied with yourself. You're seeking the Lord, but you're worried about what you're doing and how you are and how much sin there is in your life. And you're constantly being aware of your own faults, your own weakness, and your own humility. It's not humility to be like that. It's actually pride. Because humility is accepting what God says about you, and God says you're precious. And the other reason it's not the way to go and it's not of God is because no one needs faith to believe they're not worthy. No one believes faith to know that. No one needs faith to believe they're weak. No one needs faith to know that they've messed up. No one needs faith to know that the things done to them have hurt them or whatever. You get the picture. So what is the true cross? The true cross is a doorway to glory. The true cross you go through. The true cross takes us right into the throne room of God, the Holy of Holies, if you like. And the true cross says, in my weakness, I am strong. I'm not a sinner saved by grace only. I am a son of the living God. I was a sinner saved by grace at the foot of the cross. But actually, I don't need to live thinking, I'm a sinner. I live as a son. You see, God has chosen you, yeah? When God chose Moses to be the hero and lead people out of Egypt, Moses said to God, "Who am I to do this?" How did God answer? He said, "I am." He didn't tell Moses who he was. He didn't say, "Well, actually, you're going to be really good at this." Because he just said, "I am." He didn't tell Moses who he was. He told Moses. He didn't tell Moses who Moses was. He told Moses who he was. And that's what God does to you. When you say, "Oh, who am I, God, that you could call me?" God just says, "I am." It's nothing to do with us. And that is actually so freeing. It frees us from any thoughts of, "I can't." Yes, you can, because he's the I am. Amen? The true cross says, "I am nothing without him, but I am not without him." The true cross says, "I am worth the price that was paid for me." That sounds a bit arrogant, doesn't it? Well, you're not getting in cheap. You're worth the full price. There wasn't a sale the day you got saved. Hey, Carol Keys, 40% off today. Hallelujah. God did a good job getting you saved. It wasn't a half-hearted one. All right? Hallelujah. Humility is not saying that you're a worm. Humility is not saying I'm not worth it. Humility is not a poor attitude. Humility is saying I am not who I feel I am sometimes. I am who God says I am. I'm precious, even when I don't feel like it. Amen? So we're going to rise up. We're going to rise up. Are you ready? And stop saying the stuff that's negative. Stop saying the wormy thinking. Stop thinking the wormy thinking even. We're going to rise up and say that stuff is no longer with us. I'm not going to walk around and think I'm a sinner. I'm going to walk around knowing that the true cross says I'm much loved. I'm a son or a daughter, and hopefully you'll know which. You're a bit slow there, Kate. No, you're not witches. What were you doing on Halloween? Anyway, because the final thing of this morning is, don't be like Jesus was. Be like he is. Yes. As he is, so are we in the world. Yes. Amen. That is so empowering. That's the message the world needs to clear. That'll clear everybody out of the ark. Won't it? If they could grasp that truth, that'll clear everybody out of misery in Scarborough. Yes. I'm precious. Yeah, I've blown it. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Yeah, I got it wrong. Yeah, I did this. Yes, I had an abortion. Whatever. You're now saved. I mention that again because God keeps telling me to. Shall we stand? Now, we could have a time of ministry, but we're not, and I will tell you why. Because this morning the message is for each one of us, and I do mean everyone, including myself. It's taking on board the revelation of who you are in Christ afresh, wherever you've been before, and whatever issue you're facing in your life. Yes, there's a time for ministry. Yes, there's a time for laying on of hands. But actually, the answer to every single, pardon me, every single issue that we have is Jesus. Yes. I mean, it is. People say the answer is Jesus, but it is. Yes. You know. So if you've come this morning and you need and you need healing, the answer is Jesus. The answer is you have been saved from your enemies. So I got a sneaky suspicion what song you were whispering as you went up there. We're going to sing a song as a response. And as we sing a song, don't sing a song. Worship, but step into who you truly are. Never again need you feel I am not worthy, because you are precious in His sight. Never again need you feel like a worm, because to Him you were worth paying the ultimate price for. And therefore, what is your value? Without measure. You are not a coincidence. You are not an accident. You are chosen of God. Amen. And God may not have chosen to happen to you what has happened to you, but you are now saved from your enemies. And you don't need to live with the cord snared around your legs pulling you down. You can choose in the Lord to say, I'm not having that anymore. I'm in the stronghold. Amen. And that's the reason we're not going to have ministry this morning, because sometimes ministry can be a crutch. Sometimes ministry can be looking to the prayer for your answer. Your answer is Jesus. Amen. Amen. After we've been, after the song's got going and you've made a response, we'll also take up our offering for this morning as well, in response to what God is saying to us. Amen. We've got great days ahead. Yes. Amen. Great days ahead.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.